You are listening to the Ortho Idea podcast, where we bring you the newest trends in orthopedic technology. Tune in for engaging interviews with medical device executives, surgeons, and surprise special guests discussing new disruptive technology in the marketplace. Here is your host, Eric Anderson.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning into the Ortho Idea podcast. My name is Eric Anderson, and I truly appreciate you tuning in to the podcast. And today, our guest is Doug Hewlett. And many of you know Doug probably from LinkedIn. Doug and I have known each other for a little while now, and he has a fascinating story, his career, as to what he's doing. And the reason he's coming on to tell his story today and talk about what he's doing is because I get several phone calls per week, it seems like, of people who want to experience the journey that Doug is on. So without further ado, Doug, how are you today?
I'm great, Eric. Thank you so much. How is sunny Florida today?
Actually, it's absolutely beautiful and it's interesting. It's very cool this morning. So it's been for April. It's a very nice day. So how's Texas for you?
It's great. My wife and I got up early this morning. We sat out on the front porch and watched the sunrise, drinking some coffee. So I don't know that my Saturday could get any better at this point. I mean, I'm here with you now. So.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try and live up to that. Well, at least we're going to have a good go at it. Again, thank you for coming on, Doug, because it's what I wanted to do. Instead of me giving this big, long introduction about you, I'd rather you do that for the people who are listening and just tell us about you and your start, and then we can go from there.
Sure. Like most people my age who got into med device when I got in, it was the coolest, hardest job to get into, and I got in. It made no sense that I actually got the job. I remember this is 2005, and I remember getting an opportunity at an interview for this company called Synthes, and as I was doing some research on, I'm trying to remember whatever the forum was, I was reading about like the people that they actually hire. It was something like Pharma
Digest. It's called Cathay Pharma, I bet.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody used to go on that and write ridiculous things about other companies and tell people that, yep.
And I remember I actually was like, I had two interviews that same day. And I was like, I only had time to prepare for one. And I was like, there's no way in all that is holy that I'm getting this job at Synthes because I don't have the background that literally everybody else had.
Let me brag on you for a second here. I know about your background. Rewinding a little bit back from Synthes, you're an Ivy League guy, obviously extremely intelligent. So you would be a wonderful asset. Well, at least on paper, you look like that.
On paper,
so, yeah, on paper, you look like that. So anyway, keep going because I want everybody to realize that you would be an asset to any company that wanted you.
I appreciate that. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't think I was going to get this job. And then lo and behold, I got the job. 3 months in, everybody who worked in ortho trauma at some point has heard the story about like the guy that was hiding implants in the ceiling.
Yes, yes.
Then the ceiling tiles fell down and there's all this X-Fix in the ceiling.
It's urban legend, yes.
The senior consultant that I was working under, in fact, was hiding X-Fix inside of the drawer box, inside the Sims cabinet. He was just taking like the 6-pin clamps and throwing them behind the cabinet drawer. So they were still in the box or still in the cabinet, but it always looked low. This dude was stuffing his pockets. Hospital found out. They fired him on the spot, kicked him out of the hospital. I don't even know if this guy was allowed in the hospital, if he was hurt. It was that bad. And at 3 months in, I took over a level one trauma center. So 7 years later, 24/7 on call, I couldn't. 7 years was all I could do. I got married. I never saw my wife. I left every family holiday that I was able to get to. I had to leave early because I was getting paged and I grew weary of the lifestyle. So I stayed in it because I was making money. Why wouldn't I keep doing it?
The golden handcuffs.
That's right. Anyway, I spent the rest of the 20 years total that I was in the industry, I spent in spine. I worked for a number of spine companies. I did a stint in orthopedic total joint replacement. And look, at every organization, there were great people that I loved working with that I became friends with. Unfortunately, there was generally more knuckleheads than awesome people that I'm friends with. And I just grew weary of continuing to do it. And I was never going to leave. And eventually, I got fired.
I want you to talk about that because I knew you before kind of as that was transpiring. And you did have a very profound proclamation video that you made on LinkedIn. And I was very impressed by that because 99% of people would never do that in a million years because I'm using my fingers and going, quote, that would be embarrassing to them, which I think everybody who's listening to this right now has gotten fired. You can look in the mirror, you get let go, it's okay. But when it does happen, it is heart-wrenching and everything else because usually what happens with the golden handcuffs is you create the lifestyle with the golden handcuffs on and then you go, oh boy, how am I going to pay for this type of terror starts. So if you could talk about that. People love to hear that.
I got put on a PIP, oddly enough, by a guy. Like I got my boss the job. And unfortunately, he wasn't a person that, I don't want to speak ill of him, but at the end, even though I was on a PIP and I hit my number, they still were like, all right, well, anyway, you're gone.
If anybody from human resources is listening to this, first of all, human resources has nothing to do with human resources. It is a company protection department. Yep. That's what it is. It is 100%. And please, HR people, don't come at me with comments lying that you say that it's anything but that. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. When you hear this term PIP, Performance Improvement Plan, it is a way to extract people from the organization. And I know people are going to go, yeah, no, that's not what it's about, but that's 100% it's about. I don't know whether you didn't hold your drink correctly at a meeting or whatever it is, that's what they use it for. And please, HR people, go ahead and comment because you're lying if you're saying anything about that. So anyway, that's my feeling about that. Can you tell? Because I've been told to put people on PIPs that they never, ever, ever, ever were going to succeed in. I've managed hundreds and hundreds of people and I got told to put this person on a PIP and I go, well, why? And pretty much just because it was like American Idol. They didn't like them. It was time to get them out of the organization. So anyway, sorry, going on my soapbox there.
No, I mean, hey, man, I'm happy to jump up there with you because it was a frustrating thing to go through. The idea is with a PIP, let's improve this person's performance. That's what they call it. But the reality is I knew going into the PIP that I had turned down business, like certain types of business, because I knew what was going on the back end. Sometimes it's easier just to be like, I'm going to walk away from this rather than have to explain all of the reasons why working with this particular surgeon could get everyone in prison. Let's just not work with him. They put me on the PIP and then I was like, all you're doing is incentivizing me to protect myself. You want me to make good decisions for the company. I did that. And then you put me on a PIP. So now you're telling me, go make bad decisions for the company so that I can just throw some number up. It doesn't even matter how I get there. That's what you're incentivizing because obviously I want to keep my job. So Doug, go do whatever you have to do to keep your job. It's the most ass backwards thinking and logic. But then again, that's generally how most med device companies are run. They will advance a dingleberry through the organization who a person who has no place managing other humans.
Right.
And then they make them AVP of an area because they had a good month or they had a really good quarter. They're like, oh, well, that guy clearly knows how to do it. So let's make this guy in charge of other people who's never managed anyone, right?
It's just the byproduct of an extremely high margin business that you can make horrifically stupid mistakes with personnel. It's okay because let's keep this down. It's 82% margin on these products, so we can make dumb mistakes. It's okay.
So in any event, I was never going to leave that job myself, or at least the industry. I was never going to leave the industry myself. Well, even though I hit my numbers, I got let go. And in the immediate wake of that, I was obviously reeling, but you know, I was going to take a breath and I was going to leverage all of my years of experience managing people and launching products because I had been in sales, I've been in marketing, I've been in sales management. I had a breadth of experience to draw on. So I started helping people and coaching people through the use of personalized videos to get out in front of customers. And in the end, not in the end, like I still do that on the side, but I was doing some of this coaching and I realized that I needed a more sustainable income and doing the solopreneur thing at the time wasn't bringing in enough for me. I decided a buddy of mine came to me, and given that I had always hated med device, like even in the middle of it, I just hated what I was doing. I didn't like the surgeons generally because they thought very highly of themselves, which is not me.
Yeah.
You know, like I hated fawning this idea that I needed to tell a doctor how amazing they were when you'd watch them do surgery and you're like, this guy shouldn't change a roll of toilet paper, let alone doing a cervical discectomy. Like, sweet Lord, help this guy, please.
Right.
I'd always had side hustles. And one of those side hustles I worked with my hands was I started building custom closets for people in the neighborhoods and just enjoyed doing it. My buddy, who's also in the industry, decided that he wanted to open a business. He purchased a custom cabinet company here in Texas.
Cool.
And approached me and asked me to run it.
Wow.
Knowing that I know cabinets, I know how to build cabinets. I'd done all that stuff by hand in the past. I left what I'll call the white collar world for the trades. It has been absolutely the most fulfilling job that I have ever had.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's where I'm at today.
That is fantastic. I think years ago, and maybe people will argue this right now, that we all had to go to this place, and I'm going to call it college, where we had to go to this thing in order to better ourselves, to be the best we could be. That's what we had to do. And then in order to get these jobs, like working at Synthes, like you and I did, and working at these different big companies, because that's kind of how we were trained and what to do. And I've always said this to myself, the happiest guys that I know, ladies that I know, work in the trades. They all do. They're plumbing contractors, electrical contractors, carpenters, whatever else. They do what they want to do when they want to do it. Seems like a lot of them seem to have Fridays off. I can't get a hold of anybody on Friday. And whenever they show up at my house to fix something, I write them a really large check and they have a smile on their face. And for whatever that's worth, that's anecdotal for me. That's just something that I have noticed, and to the point where I'm begging my son to go into the trades and become some kind of contractor, because I'm like, especially with the advent of AI and a lot of these different things that's going to happen with jobs, one place that AI can't compete is working with your hands. So
I say that all the time. We are one software update away from being replaced in a lot of these jobs.
Yeah.
So you referenced earlier a video that I made where I basically, as I was making that transition from med device world to sales coaching, training, et cetera, I represented myself falsely. I talked about how I left med device. I didn't lie and say that I resigned and say I quit and up yours, right? It was, I just sort of didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I felt really guilty and that I was in fact lying, because I was omitting a key detail, which was the fact that I was fired rather than leaving under my own steam. And that wasn't the case. As I was trying to make ends meet and try and get things happening, I started working as a handyman in my town. And man, I was making like $100 an hour as a handyman, and realizing I go to somebody's house and solve a thing, solve a problem like we had done in med device for years. Somebody shows up with pain, they leave the hospital, conceivably a couple months later, there's no more pain, they feel better.
Yeah.
It dawned on me that I was able to have that positive impact to somebody and solve a problem that people didn't know how to solve, whether it was fixing a toilet or making a shelf or whatever, rewiring a light switch for somebody. The fact of the matter is, like, people like you and I were making enough money that we would just throw money at a problem to fix it and not learn a skill set. And some people aren't wired that way. They're just not wired to work with their hands. But I started really enjoying it. And for me, there was a humility component to this that I never recognized. Like, I walked around thinking like my crap didn't stink at all, because as you said, I don't like talking about it, but like, I went to an Ivy League school. I was an athlete in college. I ran competitively after college. I was a professional athlete and did those things for a number of years. And most people don't think track is like an actual sport or that it's a profession, but
I'm learning that there are professional runners and track people. I didn't know that until a few months ago.
Yeah, I mean, there's professional dart players. Come on.
Oh, don't get me started. I may become a professional dart player. Come on, Doug.
There was a humility that I didn't have. when you're in whatever industry, you look outside of that bubble and you're like, I'm at the cream of the crop. Like I'm in the most desirable job and industry that everybody wants in what I've got. And with that, you sort of carry this arrogance about what you're doing for a living. And I thought like MedDevice was top of the food chain when it came to sales, and it's so hard to get in. And the reality is like, yeah, it may be hard to get in, but then once you're in, what are you, just another donkey selling pieces of peak or metal or whatever? And it's really not selling. It's how fast can I drop my price? Do I drop my price slower than somebody else so I get the business? Or do I just jump the line, drop it a bunch and get the business? Like that's not selling. That's how fast can I discount? I still had this attitude of look at me. Not that I ever looked down at my nose at people, but I didn't look at the trades necessarily with esteem. Little boys don't grow up.
Yeah. That's what we were all
dreaming
taught.
To be a cabinet maker.
Right. Well, let's look at it. You and I are relatively close in age. I'm probably a lot older, but in school,
you look it.
Thank you. You know, it's my glasses. When we're in school, we're taught back when, well, you need to go do this and go to college and get a, I'm quoting again, good job, because you don't want to do the trades. That's for the people who, those guys over there. And again, I go back to what a line of crap we were given. We were sold a bill of goods. Anyway, we could go into that. That could be a whole other podcast. I firmly believe that's the education industry. And it is a large behemoth industry that has captured people in this country. And anyway, that's a whole other podcast. But my feelings are that at this point in time, that's when we, you and I came up in school. That's what we were taught, which is completely false.
Yeah. It's not that it's false, but here's the reality. Some jobs require certain types of training. And the fact of the matter is every job is a trade. Doctors, I'll tell you what, there is not a single spine surgeon out there that I've ever met that looks at what they do and considers themselves like, I'm a tradesman at this thing. They just have to go to different schooling. If you want to be a master plumber, master electrician, you have to go and apprentice and learn those things. That's what med school is. That's what residency is. It's an apprenticeship to learn how to go and do this thing. But they think too highly of themselves to ever consider it a trade. Fact of the matter is, it's what it is. And I sort of had this realization that I got knocked down a few pegs. I ran out of, we were using our savings, trying to make ends meet. We had just built a house. We were just trying to figure things out. And I realized that when I took my ego out of the equation, I was incredibly proud of the work that I did by fixing stuff for people. I was getting paid really well to do it. And then my buddy came and offered me this job to run his cabinet business. And it dawned on me that I would really enjoy that. Like, one, I know how to do it. Two, I'm surrounded by dudes who are working hard, who are trying to just take care of their family. And there's no ego whatsoever. I accepted it. I accepted the fact that, look, it's not the same pay scale right now because we're still trying to grow this business and turn it into something. But the opportunity is amazing. When I look at MedDevice and I see how it was over the 20 years of my career, how much a product went for and how much it sells for today, it's going the opposite direction. How much we sell cabinets for, it's absolutely astounding how much custom cabinets cost. It just is. And what the profit margin is. On one hand, I see an industry in decline with margins shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and people making bad decisions chasing an acquisition versus I'm starting smaller, but I have so much opportunity. And I'm a religious guy, as you know. I was actually thinking about this yesterday. Think of the story of the 5,000, right? Jesus feeding the 5,000. He takes a little and turns it into something outstanding. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the position where I see I'm at. I'm in this position where I've got a little right now because it was all taken away from me. We're still in our house, but we don't have the income anymore. And I have a little. And I think if I continue to work my tail off, do a good job, take pride in what I'm doing and take that little bit and give that opportunity or give that to God and let him turn that little bit into tremendous opportunity, I'm on the right path and I'm happy.
Well, it's funny. I will tell you something. And people, this podcast is audio only, but I'm seeing you in video. And when we would work together on certain things, you always had a fantastic. You're a positive guy, but you didn't have as huge a smile as you do now. Does that make any sense? I mean, like now where I'm talking to you, you're grinning from ear to ear often throughout this podcast. And again, I just wanted to kind of say that for people who are listening or not watching, you're grinning from ear to ear. So obviously you truly enjoy what you're doing.
I learned a ton in med device. Just because people don't listen to your idea doesn't mean it's a bad idea. It just may be the audience knuckleheads. So often you would look at a product, and I won't name the product specifically, but there was one company I worked for that had an interesting product. Yet they chose to market it in the exact same way that the competition marketed their product. And they squandered an opportunity to do something amazing with something that was truly head and shoulders above the rest, but they just jammed it into the middle and they made it part of the noise. I don't need to do that. We're selling cabinets. Like cabinets, for the most part, are just like your cabinets and my cabinets and her cabinets. A cabinet's a cabinet's a cabinet's.
Right.
However, how we position it, how we talk to our customers, we're still selling the same thing, just like in med device. Everybody's selling the same total knee. This little widget's different and that little detail is a little bit different. But at the end of the day, it's a knee or it's a spinal implant or whatever it is. And cabinets sort of are the same thing. It's how we market it. It's how we talk about it. It's how we make the customer feel about the cabinets. And being able to do that and actually take an idea or take an approach and go like, I'm going to go try this and not fear that the Sunshine Act is going to come back and hurt me, or this doctor who's making terrible decisions, or you know, is getting paid by the distributor to put in this product. Like, I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that anymore. So there's a lot of stress that has gone away.
Doug, are you saying you're allowed to buy one of your customers a cup of coffee without filling out 6 reports about it?
As a matter of fact, yes. Yes. This one's the best. I'm a vendor to some people, but to other people, they're the vendor, right? Like they're selling me hardwood products and they're selling me hinges and drawer slides and all the fancy gear that our wives see on Pinterest.
Oh, no.
Man, the other day I made a comment. I was like, hey, do you guys carry this particular type of wood? I want to build a deck. Oh, yeah, man. And then if you need some wood, like I'll hook you up with good pricing for your deck. I was like, well, holy cow, right? No doctor ever came to me and said, man, I appreciate all the help you've given me selling me these products. If you ever need knee surgery, let me know.
Yeah.
I'll hook you up.
I'll take care of you. That's interesting. That is very interesting, actually.
And honestly, most of the time, you're kind of nervous that the nurses that you know in the operating room would just look at your weenie and laugh or something. I mean, at least for me, that's always how I felt.
You know. Actually, I'm just not going to touch that one. I'm going to let that sit where it is, and then we'll go on to the next thing. But I know what you're talking about. Obviously, this is all very new, and you're having the time of your life. I guess the question is, do you see yourself expanding and becoming the cabinet king of the Southwest and Texas, or where is it going to take you?
Our plan with our business, which is called Texas Unique Custom Cabinets, we already work with about 50 builders, and we are focused on growing that. So right now, we are trying to expand our shop for our capacity. We're not a production shop. And by production shop, I mean, we're not just churning out the same cabinet all day long. We work with very high-end home builders. There's a famous jewelry designer here in Austin that we just did a massive project for, not only her personal office, but also some cabinets for her home. The CEO of another jewelry company, like we've done their home, their cabinets. I can't even wrap my head around some of these houses that I walk into, right? Like we're doing like an $8 million house right now. The cabinet package alone is, there's lots of zeros in it.
So I say to my wife when we're looking to redo our kitchen and I go, how much are the cabinets? What exactly are these cabinets made of? I mean, obviously, it's a fantastic business as far as when I look at the pricing.
It is. To answer your question, our goal is to go from where we are here in Central Texas, the Hill Country, and to continue to expand, but by churning out super high-end cabinets. I mean, we work with homeowners that have been referred to us who are doing a remodel and they need a couple of cabinets for the bathroom. Sure, we'll do that. but we're going to give them the same high quality product that we're going to give the $20 million house that we're doing in Marble Falls. Our goal is to continue to expand. I want to leverage what I've been doing with Virtual Sales RX, using the comfort that I've developed of being in front of a camera and talking about different things. I want to leverage that on the social medias, in LinkedIn, et cetera, to just let people know what's possible, what's out there, and then just use all of the skills that I learned in Med Device that were never adopted and use them here in the cabinet world. Because in the trades, brother, that part is no different than Med Device. People still market the way they've always marketed. Like, oh yeah, I've got an ad on AM radio for my plumbing business. Like, that's what they do.
Right, right.
There's a big opportunity to leverage what we know from other industries and apply it to the industry that we find ourselves in today, whatever that may be in trades.
As we were talking the other day, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, what a very interesting, exciting time to be in what you're doing, especially when you're being able to bring maybe a new breath of thought process to marketing and to selling within that industry. Because you're right. I think that when you talk to guys in the trades, as long as they're on the radio and they've got a van that has their number on the side, they think that that's the way to do it, which it has been the way to do it for years and years and years.
The funny thing is, obviously, I was doing a lot on LinkedIn talking about using video in the Med Device world. And now I'm in the process of transitioning that message because I don't see it on LinkedIn. I don't see anybody talking about the trades. It's a lot of people with their white collar jobs and whatever app they've developed or whatever API, I don't even know what that stands for, but they've got an API.
Yeah.
They've got AI. They've got something that auto generates giggle points. I mean, like, there's just words. People are making up words and then selling things on LinkedIn to other people who are also selling things on LinkedIn.
Yes. I said this today. In fact, I'm going to post this on LinkedIn sooner enough, but it's LinkedIn has become AI talking to people using AI and then commenting using AI. I'm convinced that AI just talks to each other all day on LinkedIn. Anyway, sorry, I had to tell you. I came to that realization.
I feel like LinkedIn has, and maybe it's always been like that, but it's a lot of people, and I'm guilty as well. It's like, hey, I've got this answer to a problem that you've got,
yep,
and I'm going to sell it to you if you just hit this. But like, everything is a Time Life infomercial,
yep,
on LinkedIn. And everything that everyone does and sells on LinkedIn is amazing. It works and there's never a problem. And it's going to ramp up your sales by $1 million overnight. You're amazing. I'm amazing. Everybody's amazing. I don't feel like there's a whole lot of honesty of like, hey, I thought last week about physically hurting myself because I'm so frustrated with how this isn't working and that's not working. And there's this thin veneer of everything is perfect. And that is not the reality. Our economy, I don't care what Bidenomics says, like, it ain't good. Gasoline shouldn't cost me in my diesel truck this much in Texas. It just shouldn't.
Yeah.
Groceries, like, there's no celery right now at the grocery store. Nobody likes celery. The only way celery ever gets eaten is either in a stew or with peanut butter. That's it. Two options for celery.
Good point.
Yeah, it's all sold out.
Yeah.
There's this veneer of everything is perfect and wonderful that I see on LinkedIn. I don't think it's the truth.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is talk about me making this transition where, like, there's hard days. I don't know, hurt myself yesterday moving cabinets.
You didn't just have to do that for this podcast. You just wanted to cut your hand just to, I appreciate that. Thank you.
It isn't perfect and wonderful. And it's hard every day. Like, I'm learning new software for designing cabinets and layout. And like, I feel like I'm a four-year-old trying to learn math. It's not easy. And I just want to document that and show people that, yes, it may not be a smooth transition. Maybe it's going to be hard and maybe I'm not going to make as much money as I used to right now.
Yeah.
But through these transitional periods, sometimes you've got to take a couple of steps back in order to move forward. And I don't see that on LinkedIn. And I especially don't see anything about the trades on LinkedIn. Hopefully I'll stand out to be able to just get the message out and then drive traffic to what we're doing on social media in other platforms and document it.
I think it's a brilliant strategy because your customers are on LinkedIn. If you look at the demographics of people who are utilizing LinkedIn. They are the highest wage earners by far of any social media. It's twofold. So I think it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for coming on here today and telling us what you're doing now in life. And I find it so inspiring and interesting. So again, thank you
for
sharing. And what's the name of your company again? So if anybody is interested living in the Hill Country or anywhere around the country, because you're going to get inundated probably with requests of who should I talk to about this?
Sure. Yep. Our company is called Texas Unique Custom Cabinets. We're going to be transitioning the name to just Unique Custom Cabinets. We're located in Florence, Texas. And yeah, if anybody wants to reach out, whether it's about cabinets, whether it's about getting into the trades, I had a couple of people that I met in my transitional period from med device to what the heck am I doing with my life? How am I going to take care of my family to where I'm at today? There were some people that I did not know before that, that became friends and helped just be there to listen, just be a resource, be a friend. And if anybody is going through that, man, I am happy to volunteer to be a friend, to be somebody to just bounce ideas off of, because I'm here on the other side to say that it can be done. You can walk away onto your own steam, or you can be fired and try to figure out what the hell you're going to do next. I'm happy to talk to people and just let them know that maybe this is something to avoid. Maybe this is something to get into and just to be there. So if anybody needs help, I'm happy to talk to anybody.
Well, that's fantastic. And sounds like not only do you have a new career, you might have a new ministry as well, helping those that are out there transition to where they want to be.
Yeah, happy to do it.
That's awesome. Well, again, thanks, Doug. I really appreciate it. Again, if you want to get a hold of Doug, you can find him on LinkedIn and also Texas Unique. You say it again. Go ahead and tell me.
Custom Cabinets.
Custom Cabinets.
Texas Unique Custom Cabinets.
Unique Custom Cabinets. Well, again, thanks so much and appreciate everybody for tuning in. Take care, Doug.
Take care, Eric. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ortho Idea Podcast. If you would like to learn more about the technologies discussed, please visit www.orthoidea.com.